Holy Gospel this morning is from Matthew, the 13th chapter, starting at verse 31. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into a sea and had caught fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be, again, more weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, Jesus has been on a roll lately here in the Gospel of Matthew with a lot of different parables. Last week we heard about the parable of the seed and the weed. And this week we have what seems like a grab bag of parables again. Growing up and living in America, we are bombarded with messages of the American dream. We hear slogans all the time that tell us the way to achieve great things is to go for it. Just do it. No pain, no gain. We are told that if we work hard and follow the rules and we put in our time, that good things are bound to happen, right? Whether it's financial reward or career success or healthy relationships, because we are fed this steady diet of rules and promised rewards, we kind of expect God to follow the rules that we keep for ourselves. But today in this grab bag of parables, Jesus tells us to examine our own thinking. While we may plant a garden in neat and tidy rows, God sows wild seeds everywhere, indiscriminately on the good soil and the rocky soil and in the sand. While we may plan for a career or a family or a retirement by following each step carefully, God shows up and sows a new dream, a different dream into your heart, something that maybe makes no sense at all, something so off the wall that you may question what in the world God is up to. This may start as a whisper that grows louder and louder still until God's whisper becomes a persistent, deafening invitation. While we may like logic and order and predictability, it seems that the reign of God is nothing of those things. Quite simply, God wants to take our carefully laid plans and make a mess out of things. The kingdom of God we heard in these parables today is unpredictable, expanding, and sneaky, very, very sneaky. The kingdom or reign of God, we are told in the Gospel of Matthew, is like a mustard seed that someone sows in a field. Now, have you ever seen mustard seed growing in a field? It is an invasive species. Am I right, Bill? Yep. It is. It takes hold and it grows and these bushes get huge. Why would a person sow that seed intentionally in their field? It would take over and destroy the crop. We are told the kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman puts into bread. Now, to our ears, that sounds perfectly reasonable. That's how we make bread, right? But for first century Christians who eat unleavened bread, to put yeast into the bread is to contaminate it, to make it unclean. It is to ruin the entire batch. Why would anyone do that? We are told that the kingdom of God is like a treasure that someone finds in a field and then buries it, and then goes home and sells everything that they have, hoping and trusting that when they go and buy that field, that the treasure will still be there in the ground where they hid it. Who does that? Can you imagine coming home and saying, we're going to sell everything and buy a plot of property over there because I know that there is buried treasure? Some of these metaphors, you know, sound funny to our ears, right? So consider this. The reign of God is like intentionally planting Creeping Charlie into your beautiful manicured lawn. Now, have any of you ever battled Creeping Charlie? I hear neighbors all the time in their backyard, you know, saying words I can't say here, about their Creeping Charlie that has taken over their lawn. It's like a battle. They go to battle every year trying to get rid of this thing. It owns your yard. It has no escape. It grows and it grows and it spreads like a network of ground cover practically overnight. And just when you think you have conquered it, oh no, it keeps growing. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is already seeping into the cracks of your heart and mine, already making changes, remodeling the world like one of those DIY projects gone amok. The kingdom of God is a catalyst, an enzyme, a wildfire that sparks and quickly gets out of control. So what is Jesus telling us here? Is this a warning or an invitation? Or maybe it's both. Think for a moment. What is God planting within you, within this world, that has the potential to mess up all of our plans? Something that is so world-altering, so life-altering, that to consider it for the sake of the gospel sounds ridiculous. What is God igniting in you? What is within you that is so like kindling, ready to burn, that with a single spark could start a fire? What is so ripe for the picking that it's hanging so low on the tree that every time you walk by that tree, it plops you on the head as if God is trying to wake you up and say, wake up, pay attention, I've got plans. I know that you have dreams, your own dreams and those placed in your heart by God. What dream is growing within this church in a way that it's going to just burst the seams of this place? What do you hope for this community of faith, for this neighborhood, for your family, for this world? One thing that I've learned is that once the kingdom of God takes root and begins fermenting and growing, there comes a point of no return, a point when the Creeping Charlie has truly taken over, a point where silence and timidity is not an option. It's a time when the fermentation process overflows with pressure to the point that it can no longer be ignored. It must expand. It must grow, and it must be shared. God puts this stuff into we, God's people, and turns up the heat with the Holy Spirit until we cannot remain silent any longer. We cannot remain comfortable any longer. The Spirit gets into our nooks and crannies, into the dark places, into the crannies of our armor, the places where fear and doubt reside, and then God says, I'm there too. We read the passage from Romans and feel such comfort, don't we? But we shouldn't get too comfortable, because when the Spirit takes hold, things will be transformed. The kingdom of heaven will grow like yeast hidden in flour that will grow exponentially. God's got a hold of me. How about you? When it happened for me, God chased me down, and I said, Lord, I'm not a very fast runner. And God said, yeah, I know. And then I finally, decided to stop running, and I said, okay, you've got me. And God said, yeah, I know. I've had you all the while. That was the most exhausting escape attempt I've ever made. We cannot outrun the coming of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is already here. It's here within us, around us, and it's in the places and the people that we least expect. A few years ago, I got a call from a family in need of a memorial service for their father, who I will call Jim. Jim grew up Irish Catholic, but in his adult years was not connected to any church of any kind. As Jim got older and sicker, his faith became more and more important to him. And as Jim planned his memorial service prior to his death, he planned it with very specific instructions. So the family asked me to do a simple Christian funeral service for a man who had faith, but who had no church, no pastor, no priest. I reminded the family, I'm not Catholic and I'm a woman, and they said, that's good enough for us. They gave me an address and a time, and they just said, keep it short and simple. It's just going to be some friends and family. Okay. So I arrive at the address that they give me in St. Paul, in a neighborhood filled with little homes, and here is, in the middle of this neighborhood, is a bar. Yep, that was the address. I'm thinking, maybe I have the wrong address? Upon entering this bar, I was escorted down into the basement of this bar, where there's a party room. I was handed a red solo cup and told that I could have my choice of beverages. Yep, it was going to be an interesting event. What happened was, it was a combination between a traditional Irish wake and a Christian memorial service. Family and friends arrived in t-shirts and jeans and baseball caps and work outfits. Each provided their own contribution to the potluck that would follow. Many of Jim's favorite dishes were there. A band set up in the corner. There was a fiddler and a drummer, and all of our voices would be called upon to sing. Suddenly, I understood my role as just a mere member of the ensemble. What ensued was the most beautiful memorial service that I have ever attended. The music was simple, and everyone knew the words. I read scripture, and we prayed, and we sang our hearts out. Stories were told. Some of them happened. All of them were true. We cried tenderly and laughed heartily. We raised a glass to toast their beloved Jim, and at the end, there was a simple feast. Just like that, I had seen something surprising and new. The kingdom of God is alive and well, and I discovered it in a basement of a St. Paul pub. It's easy to think that we have seen the kingdom of God, that we know what it looks like and it feels like. Instead, the kingdom of God comes in ways that are surprising, invasive, and bold. The truest test, I think, is how it makes us feel. When the kingdom of God comes, if we feel comfortable, then it's probably not the kingdom of God. The reign of God should make us squirm. It should make us question what we think God is up to. It should make us question what we are up to. God's reign should surprise us, and surprise us it will. The most surprising thing is that the kingdom of God is not out of our reach. It is right here, right now. When we see it, will we welcome it? Or will we hide from it? Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, give us eyes with which to see the kingdom when it appears. Fill this world with your surprising and invasive spirit, and help us to welcome it and participate in your kingdom when your kingdom comes again and again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.